Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
Apparently, it appears most often by the front door, but can also be near bedroom windows. My next-door neighbor, Margaret, used to have this problem. It's a shame Margaret was a mother. That was my first thought upon meeting her, and one I had often since. She definitely didn't deserve her son, Devin. They moved into my neighborhood 4 years ago. Right away, I found Devin to be the most thoughtful and polite three-year-old that I had ever known. Unfortunately, I also got to know Margaret as well. She often would come over and slam a meaty fist on my door just to complain about small issues. Stuff like when a dog got loose from my backyard or that my grass was getting overgrown. She explained it all as being for Devin's benefit, and at first, I was understanding. After all, no one wants a strange dog coming near their kid. But my dogs loved kids, and none were breeds known for their aggressiveness. I didn't try to let them loose, but it happened every now and then, with none of the other neighbors minding. The grass issue was harder to understand. My grass wasn't very long, but Margaret was worried about Devin running through my yard, and she didn't want him to trip over anything he couldn't see. I tried to mow my lawn regularly, and Devin wasn't even allowed out of house regularly, but she'd still cry out at me to do a better job picking up sticks and whatnot for my grass. It didn't take long to realize she just got under Devin for everything. If he talked back to her, she'd yell at him for being rebellious. If he was silent, she'd screech at him for not having anything to say. I've also witnessed her, many times, grab him by the arm and twist hard enough to make me worry about him breaking something. She's always been rough with Devin, but I only ever found the courage to protest once. After I called her out, over my fence a safe distance away, she came by later with homemade cookies to try and explain. Honestly, this visit was the only reason I never ended up calling the cops. Not because of the cookies, they tasted like bitter soap. But she had a heartbreaking story to tell, one that made me feel sorry for the old woman. They had to move here from the coast after her husband, Devin's father, drowned to death in a tragic accident. Margaret and Devin's father were packing up from a visit to the beach when they realized that Devin wasn't with them. They searched all around for him as soon as they noticed he was gone. The father thought he saw a boy that looked like Devin on the pier and rushed there, while Margaret stayed near the car. Eventually, Devin jumped out of a hiding place behind the changing stations and yelled, "Boo!" to Margaret. It turned out that he had decided on an impromptu game of hide-and-seek and had stayed hidden, even when he saw and heard his father looking for him. Margaret raced to the pier, but was slowed down by having to drag around a now screaming and crying Devin. He just didn't understand what was going on. Sadly, they both witnessed the dad jumping into the water from the end of the pier. Margaret thought that he must have searched the whole pier and gotten worried that Devin had fallen into the water himself. Either way, Margaret and Devin would end up going home alone that day. They waited around for bad news to arrive, but when it did, she immediately made plans to move far inland. So, that's how she became my neighbor. But the story also explained why she was equally paranoid about Devin's safety and angry at his existence. She didn't admit that, of course, but it was obvious with how she used phrases like, "You must understand, Devin never meant any harm, it was just an accident how he killed his father." As harsh as it always was, I couldn't even begin to imagine the hurt both of them were living with. So, I didn't try. I figured Margaret was doing the best she could under the circumstances, so I never called her out a second time. And it didn't hurt that I'd do anything to avoid another awkward meeting. Margaret was a large woman with no real concept of personal space. After our little talk, she found excuses to be outside when I came home from work. Eventually, she gave up and became quite reclusive. Everyone in the neighborhood breathed a sigh of relief, and we largely just continued on with our lives. Until recently, when I saw Margaret outside again as I pulled into my driveway. She was dragging Devin by the ear to a waiting trash can by the curb. She tossed in a book with her other hand and was shrieking at Devin when I got out of the car. She paused, and at first, I thought it was for my benefit. Instead, she pointed at her own front door and screamed, "Devin, is that sand?" I followed her finger and saw a small pile of sand next to their open door. I assumed she was just angry at how Devin had tracked around a mess. If I had stopped to think for a second, I would have wondered more about where Devin had managed to step in sand. He was homeschooled, and Margaret never let him out of her sight for long. But I didn't think. I just didn't want Devin to be punished anymore. I cleared my throat and said, "I'm sorry, I had a work project that involved sand, and I spilled some all over the sidewalk. It's windy today, so it probably got everywhere else. Devin must not have been able to avoid it if he walked near my yard." Margaret looked at me suspiciously, but then she asked Devin if that sounded like what happened. She had a surprising amount of hope in her voice. Devin looked confused, but only for a second. He was grateful to take the opportunity I provided and said, "Well, I did check the mail earlier." Margaret immediately started yelling again, but now about how careless her son was. She didn't even blame me for not cleaning up my mess. She dragged him back into the house, and I wasn't entirely sure if I'd actually helped out Devin. There was just no satisfying that woman. Later that night, when I was walking my dogs, I saw Devin sneaking out of his house. He went to the trash can and was pulling out that book when I walked up to him. He flinched, but I held up a hand and tried my best to be reassuring. I just wanted to do my best to keep him out of trouble. Devin explained how the book wasn't anything too special. It was about a father and son surviving the apocalypse together, but that was enough to trigger his mother. I wasn't sure how to bring it up, but Devin must have known what I was thinking. He confirmed what Margaret had told me all those years ago. He said something like, "Yeah, my mum doesn't like to be reminded of my dad, and she doesn't want me thinking about him either. I guess you've heard what happened." I just nodded. Devin continued sadly, "I don't even remember my dad, but I know I wouldn't have wanted to hurt him. Please believe me, if I knew what would happen, I wouldn't have stayed hidden." I did believe him, but it was a very awkward subject, so I tried to change the conversation by bringing up the sand. I just asked him where he thought it really came from. He immediately looked alarmed as he asked, "What do you mean? That wasn't because of you? I hoped you were telling the truth." Annoyed he wasn't being more grateful, I said, "My bad. I guess I won't try to keep you out of trouble next time." Devin waved his hand frantically as he explained, No, you don't understand. Sand at the door or windows is a warning." I really didn't understand and told him so. Devin sighed before explaining, "There's this monster that is after me. It's called the Merkander, and it will drag me to the ocean one day to drown me. It gets stronger and stronger every time it tries, but I'll have to let him eventually." All I could do in that moment was stare at Devin, completely speechless at his explanation. Misunderstanding my silence, he continued, "You see, the Merkander mistook my dad for me. His soul is probably trapped at the bottom of the ocean. I'll have to be sacrificed to release him to heaven. At least, my mom thinks that's the only way. But not anytime soon. She says it's selfish, but she wants me all to herself for a while." Stammering, I finally figured out how to say, "What on earth has that woman been telling you? There's no such thing as monsters. Your daddy is already in heaven, and you definitely do not have to be hurt to save anyone." "We had to move here because we found sand by my bedroom window, and I know monsters are real because I live with one," I couldn't argue with that logic, but Devin's words reminded me that I was talking to a 7-year-old child. Wanting him to calm down, I told him that I really did spill the sand over my sidewalk. I had just been kidding earlier, and that he better sneak back into his house before his mum noticed his absence. Of course, I really hoped that he just misunderstood his mother and was making things up. Margaret always seemed miserable and mean to me, but not crazy. After we parted ways, it was several days before I saw either Devin or Margaret. When I did, I was shocked at what I witnessed. I was mowing the lawn, but stopped as soon as their front door burst open. Margaret stormed out, carrying a box full of stuff. She was bleeding from several small cuts on her arms. She either didn't hear me or didn't care when I asked if she was all right. She dumped the box into the back seat of a car and stormed right back into her house with a now empty box. She repeated this several times before coming out with Devin, who held 2 trash bags full of clothes himself. He looked terrible, with several of his own cuts, including a real nasty one over his right eye. I also tried asking him if he was alright, but Margaret gave me an evil look. She finally acknowledged my existence by yelling, "Liar! Don't you ever talk to my son again, you deceiver!" They dumped everything into the car and then raced back into the house. I immediately went to my own kitchen, where I kept a number to the local police department under a magnet on my fridge. I started to call them when I saw Devin through my kitchen window. He was sneaking out again. I quickly opened the window and told him to come to my front door. I let him in and had him go straight to my study, where there were no windows. This wasn't the middle of the night. Margaret was bound to notice him missing, and soon. Devin started sobbing and apologizing. I got him to calm down and told him I would take care of everything from here on. I showed him my phone screen with the police's number just waiting for me to press call. Instead of being reassured, Devin knocked the phone out of my hand. He cried, "We don't have time for that. I need to get out of here." Not knowing what else to do, I awkwardly held open my arms for a hug and tried to say, "It's okay. Your mom can't get in here." But Devin pushed me away and moved to put his back into the nearest corner. He was quieter, but his voice was no less desperate as he said, "My mom isn't the problem. We have to leave before the demon finds me." "No, your mom is gaslighting you or something. It's just a trick. There's no such thing as demons." Devin shook his head and pointed to the dried blood over his eye. When he spoke, it was through clenched teeth. "My mom didn't do this to me. I saw him, the demon. It attacked me, but my mom cast a spell and made him leave. It won't work for long, though." He sighed before continuing. "Mom always told me no one would believe me. I should have listened to her. I'm sorry, but I should never have come here." I didn't want him scared any more than he was. I walked out of the room and told him to please just let me talk to his mother first before he went back. Devin asked in a voice that broke my heart, Could you tell her that you made me come inside?" I wasn't about to incriminate myself for kidnapping, but I lied to Devin and said, "Sure." I didn't know what I would have said in the end, but either way, I planned on calling the police as soon as possible. But all my plans were dashed when we entered the living room and could see Margaret outside the window. She was running, looking for Devin. Instinctively, he dropped to the ground out of sight. I just froze in place. Margaret looked frightened. Not just because her hair was flowing wild as she rushed about, or her wide-open, bloodshot eyes. It was because of the desperation she showed in her face and actions. She clawed at my mailbox as she ran past, to swing herself around as though that extra bit of momentum would mean life or death. I wished I had also dropped to the floor, as she slammed into my front door at full force and then kept hammering away while screaming, "I see you! I see you! Where's Devin? I need him now!" Adding to the noise was the clambering and scraping of my dogs from the back door. I was happy they were safely outside. I would miss what would happen next. But their frightened noises didn't help at the time. Devin was also whimpering below me. I can only imagine how quickly he had reconsidered going back to his mom. I had suddenly become terrified of her too. However, I truly panicked when I realized I never locked the front door after letting Devin in. Margaret was just hitting the door, but she could try the handle at any time. I forced my legs to carry me close enough that I could slide the deadbolt in place. Margaret stopped briefly, assuming I was unlocking the door, but I still put the other locks in place. Devin almost ruined everything by jumping up just then. Margaret saw him and tried the handle immediately. I braced the door and yelled at Devin to grab my phone, still on the floor in my study. Margaret doubled her efforts to enter after realizing I wasn't going to let her in. I knew talking to her, or at least getting her to listen, would be impossible. So, my only plan was calling the cops and letting them sort this out. But Devin wasn't moving to get the phone. I tried to reason with him, but he slowly walked to the door, crying the whole time. He tried to explain. "No, I have to go out there. Don't you see? This is just like last time, only it's my mom that will die this time. Please let me out." I heard wood splintering behind me and furiously shook my head. I begged and pleaded with him to just get the phone. He just asked me, "Please, please open the door. I know you're trying to help, but this is exactly how my dad died. Mom stopped me from going out, and the demon got my dad as he was looking for me." I felt my blood run cold before I fully understood what he had said. I replied with something like, "I thought you were all alone, playing hide and seek when your father passed." Because of the awful noise everywhere around me, I had to strain my ears to hear every word of Devin's whispered response. "Hide and seek was my mom's idea. She told me where to hide and then told my dad we were playing. Then she came back and kept me from going out. She told me it wasn't safe because she had seen the demon." I believed him. I mean, I believed Margaret told him those things. So I tried to tell Devin that his mother was the only demon here. But he interrupted me and yelled while pointing out the window, "No, look, the Merkander, it's here." The pounding at the door stopped. I looked out the window and saw a swirling dust devil in my driveway. Margaret was facing it, screaming obscenities. Devin hurried to the door and unlocked it as I moved fully in front of my living room window to get a better view. I could and should have stopped Devin, but I was too busy being shocked at the dust devil taking a more humanoid form. It even began to look like it was wearing clothes. It walked like it was underwater, slowly approaching Margaret, and now, more obviously, made entirely of sand. She spat at it as it raised its arms, but that did not stop its sandy boots from marching closer and closer until it was just 10 feet away. Then, sand poured forth from its palms. At first, only a small stream hit her, but the sand was moving fast. Margaret held out a hand to catch the spray, and it worked to divert the slow sand against the rest of her body, but at the cost of almost completely flaying her hand. I'll never forget the spray of blood and skin over her wild face as she turned and screamed in pain. The Merkander, or whatever it was, started to pour out a much thicker stream of sand at Margaret, but at that moment, Devin ran in between the two and shielded his mother. The sand hit him like a truck. His body was lifted off the ground, but he never landed. Instead, his body was kept aloft by the seemingly never-ending streams of wind and sand. It became difficult to see, but every now and then, I would catch glimpses of Devin's stripped body. His clothes had offered no protection, and the sand ended up stripping every other layer of him. I couldn't turn away, not even when I saw a perfectly clean skull floating in that mini sandstorm. And then even that was ground to dust. Mind you, this only took seconds, a minute at most. I might have been screaming the entire time. I only remember hearing that horrible wind, but my throat sure was sore afterwards. Either way, Margaret hadn't wasted a time, her son bought her. She stumbled into my home and into the kitchen. I barely noticed her, but she didn't need anyone's help. She turned on the stove and put a pan on the hot plate. She grabbed a cleaver and amputated her mangled arm herself. I only realized what she had been doing later. I was watching as the sandstorm abated, but the swirling sand didn't rejoin the Mercander. Instead, it formed a second, smaller Mercander. The only other difference was this one's sand was tinged with blood. The two turned into whirlwinds, whose edges touched and briefly joined. It was almost like they were embracing. When they started to head towards me, that's when I turned to run. But I stopped at the sight of Margaret in my kitchen, putting the stump of her arm on my stove to cauterize her wound. Her howls of pain were soon joined by howling wind as my window shattered and I was knocked to the floor. It became hard to breathe as it felt like the wind was being caught from my lungs and flung into the room. Everything was just sand and wind for a while, until I blacked out. When I awoke, there was no sand, no wind. My broken window and the pile of gore that remained of Margaret's severed arm in my kitchen were all that confirmed I hadn't been dreaming. At last, I got to call the cops, but they were just as confused about the situation as I was. I didn't actually see Margaret killed, so a manhunt was initiated, but she was never found. However, in the investigation, they found Devin was reported missing 4 years prior, at the same time as his father's unfortunate drowning accident. He was reported missing by his real mother. In search of answers, I was happy when the police shared this information with me. It's how I finally learned the name of Devin's father, James. I wonder if Margaret had ever bothered to learn it for herself. When Devin's mom was shown a picture of Margaret, the poor widower confirmed she had never seen the woman before in her life. This put a big puzzle piece in place for me, but I still don't think I'll ever fully understand what happened. It's been 6 months since the police closed the investigation, and nothing more has come out. But I keep having nightmares of sandy boots marching towards me. Maybe James and Devin are still out there. Or is it enough that Margaret probably suffered the same fate as Devin, having her flesh, muscle, bones and all ground up into sand? Could she have turned into one of those vengeful, indomitable spirits, hell-bent on revenge? Either way, I'm very worried about the pile of sand I found outside my front door today.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.